Good evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we approach your throne. We are eager to hear from you this evening in your word. We just ask that you would please honor all that we read. Lord, please let the Holy Spirit be with us this evening. Please help me as the communicator to communicate truth. By your Spirit, would you please allow those who hear that they would understand how they were to live? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Benjamin Franklin once said, "A well done is better than a well said." And so tonight we're going to consider how what we do is effective in our evangelistic witness. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. And so a few months ago, while you were turning there, we heard a sermon from Hector on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were faithful examples to us. And well, in some way, this is kind of like a next installment of what faithful examples look like, but now from the person of Daniel, who is the central figure and author of the book. Well, Daniel chapter 6 is probably the most well-known chapter of the book of Daniel. It's the narrative of Daniel in the lion's den, a story that I'm just going to presume that all of you have heard or are familiar with in some way, either because you've read it, or you love VeggieTales, or you just heard about it. And so it's the story of Daniel being thrown into a den of lions for his refusal to give up praying and worshiping the true and living God, and he comes out completely unscathed. And so this evening we're going to consider a brief survey of the entire chapter. We will not be reading the whole thing, but we will be looking at the key details. Before we start at the beginning of the chapter, I first want to show you how the narrative ends. Look at verses 25 to 28. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So King Darius, or Darius, however you say it, who was the ruler at this point of time, in a miraculous turn of events, acknowledges that the God of Daniel is the true and living God. And maybe what we're seeing is a true, genuine profession of faith. We don't really know. But the thing is, what led King Darius to write this decree just wasn't the miracle in and of itself. Like, of course he's going to start to believe in maybe a higher power after he sees a man come out from a den of lions. But we're also going to consider how that it was also in conjunction with the person of Daniel, who worshipped that God. Because Daniel stood out from his peers of how he lived his life faithfully before God. And so I'd like to make the argument that if that God of Daniel is the exact same God that we serve as Christians, then that means that the people around us should be saying the exact same thing. Like, they should be saying something along the lines of that person. His God or her God is the true and living God. I want to worship the God of that person, essentially. Because what the world needs to see is a great and powerful God, which is made known not only in the preaching of the gospel and miracles, but also in the way that we just simply walk faithfully before him and before the watching world. Or just consider the words of Jesus, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so the central theme of the book of Daniel is that God, not man, rules the world and all the kingdoms of it, His kingdom cannot be frustrated or thwarted. He advances it, and he does so through faithful servants like Daniel, who we are supposed to emulate. And so the main point that we're going to consider this evening is that God advances his kingdom through our faithful living. God advances his kingdom through our faithful living. And so since God advances his kingdom through our faithful living, we'll look at 4 points. Faithful living looks like excellence. Faithful living looks like prayer. Faithful living looks like faith. And faithful living looks like righteousness. If you forget those, you will just read them as we go along. So let's start with point number one. Faithful living looks like excellence. Look at verses 3-5. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." And so Daniel keeps getting promoted to higher positions in his kingdom, and he gets distinguished from everybody else because it says in verse 3, he had an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. He did everything in his role as an official better than everybody else. He had better ideas. He was a better manager. He worked harder than everybody else. I don't really know any other thing about being a manager during that time, but whatever he did, he just did it better. And so we might initially think, well, yeah, I guess some people are just more competent than others. And that's true. But what I want you to do is look back at what it says in chapter 1, verse 17 of this book. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "As for these four youths," meaning Daniel and his friends, "God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Interesting. And so what does that mean? Well, it just simply means that God was actually the source of Daniel's excellence. It was the reason why he was so good at his job. And so God gives people abilities and competencies to work. That is just one of the most central truths that you can consider, that if any of you are good at your job or good at anything else that is important, that is only because God is the one who gave you the ability to do that. On top of that, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. So even your faithfulness at work or faithfulness in anything you do can't be credited to you. It's credited to the Spirit of God. So ultimately, God. And so some people, so I want you to think about the fact that he was excellent at his job, and that is what distinguished him. Some people think that when they think about the way to win someone over at work, that they have to, well, let's say, just turn every single conversation into a spiritual one, right? Every single conversation that comes up at work has to be turned into a spiritual one. I think you understand what I mean. To use a classic examples, for instance, your coworker says, "My team lost last night. I was watching the game. Did you see the game? Well, I'm really disappointed about my team. What do you say?" "Well, I'm sorry to hear that your team lost, but do you know what is worse than your team losing? Is if you're on the team that loses in life. And you know who always loses in life? Satan. That's who you worship. Therefore, you need to repent and stop worshiping Satan." Or you're talking about food recommendations. "Where do you like to eat?" The question is, "Where do you like to eat?" And you say, "You know what my favorite food is? Spiritual food. And I get my spiritual food from the Bible. Therefore, repent and stop worshiping Satan." And so, that is an extreme example, right? And what I'm not saying is that we should not look for opportunities to preach the gospel. When God gives us the door to preach the gospel, we should be faithful in doing so, because ultimately people are going to be saved by the preaching of the gospel. And so that is not what I'm saying. But what this passage teaches us is that the best way for a Christian to live in their workplace is just to do their job really, really well. Not only really, really well, but to do it uprightly. That's exactly what Titus 2:9 says. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, which means stealing from your employer, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. This is modeled perfectly in the person of Daniel. It says in verse 4, he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. And so what the world needs to see, the way that God advances his kingdom, is just simply Christians who do their jobs really, really well with integrity. So faithful living looks like excellence. Let's look at our next point. Faithful living looks like prayer. Look at verses 10 to 11. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. So what document did Daniel know that was just signed? We'll look up at verse 7. It was an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. A few things to think about. First, he got down on his knees 3 times a day, just like David. Evening and morning, and at evening, I utter my complaint and moan. It is not prescriptive to pray 3 times a day. It is not commanded for us to do so, but it is just immediately significant for the pure fact that how good do we think our prayer life actually is when it is modeled to Daniel. Secondly, it's interesting and encouraging to think about the fact that the king just issued a month-long ban on prayer. Daniel's immediate response is to go home and pray about it. Not only that, it was with his windows open. And so Daniel was saying, not only am I not going to pray, I'm going to let you hear me pray so that you would know that I think your law is stupid. That's some good defiance, and it's ultimately what's going to get him thrown into the lion's den. But what Daniel was doing by facing Jerusalem, notice that detail, was actually faithfully adhering to what King Solomon had prescribed the Israelites to do when they are in exile, which is where Daniel has been for 70 years. Look at what King Solomon prays in 1 Kings 8, chapter 8, verses 48 to 49. If they repent with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who carried them captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause. And so what Daniel was probably doing was praying to God that God would forgive his people for their transgression that initially ushered in the exile that King Nebuchadnezzar came and then destroyed the temple and the city. And so currently, Daniel has been in exile for almost 70 years. That's a really important piece of information in the book of Daniel. The city of Jerusalem, the temple has lied in ruins for almost 70 years. And so Daniel has been praying faithfully that God would forgive the people of Israel and would allow them to go back into the land to rebuild it. Now, look back at verse 28, so the last verse of the chapter, which we read earlier. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And you might ask, what is significant about that? Well, if you know your Bibles and if you know the history of God's people, you would know that it was Cyrus the Persian who issued the decree for the people of Israel to go back into Israel and rebuild the temple. And so that means that Daniel was not only influential during the time of Cyrus and potentially might have been the one that was influential to get him to do that, but that means his prayers were being answered in his day. It is also worth noting that he probably would have been praying this for over 70 years. That is a really long time to be persisting in prayer. Why is that important for us? Well, many of us can fall into sort of thinking that if we want God to do something significant, like we want someone to be saved in our family or one of our friends, or for someone to be built up spiritually, or God to open a door for the gospel, that we kind of just get into this thinking of like God is going to do what God is going to do. If he wants to do that, well, he's just going to allow it to happen. What this passage is teaching us is that actually one of the means that God has ordained for him to work in the world is his people's prayers. For instance, Jesus has commanded all of us believers to fulfill the Great Commission, which includes missionaries being sent overseas. No one can deny that. So what are you and I supposed to do? Some people might just say, well, we should think about who wants to go overseas and serves as a missionary. And that's true. But what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 9? Verse 37, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And so Jesus is commanding that we first pray because one of the ways that God works in the world is by his people's prayers. And so think about the things that you care about in your life, who you want to get saved, what you care about concerning his kingdom. The only way that those purposes are going to be carried out will probably be by your prayers. And so faithful living looks like prayer. Let's consider the next point. Faithful living looks like faith. Look at the end, the last part of verse 23. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. I know that we've skipped over a lot of scripture to get there, but what I want to do is highlight the main points of this passage. Daniel has been thrown into the lion's den because of his refusal to cease praying, and it said he was rescued because of his faith in God. Or, as Hebrews 11 says, he through faith stopped the mouths of lions. And so we're once again faced with this question, this frustrating question regarding Daniel's superlatives. Like, how does Daniel just keep possessing these great qualities? How does Daniel possess this great quality of faith for him to be delivered? Well, to think about that, let's just change the scenario for a second. Let's just pretend that in this situation, Daniel is faithless. Like, he does not have any trust or faith in God. How would someone who knows his history counsel him? They would probably say something like, Daniel, didn't you miraculously interpret the dreams of a king? Didn't you hear how your friends were thrown into a furnace and God miraculously delivered them? Didn't you hear how a hand came out of thin air and wrote a message on the wall which you yourself interpreted? See, it would be weird if he didn't have faith in this scenario. And so what seems to be the secret behind Daniel having faith is just by remembering how God had proved himself to be faithful and powerful in the past. And so one of the greatest witnesses we can give to the watching world is when we are walking through intense difficulty, even situations that feel hopeless, and yet our trust is still in God. That is the most peculiar thing to the watching world. And so how do we do that? Well, we take the model of Daniel. We think about how God has proven himself to be faithful in our lives. We think about the providence in our lives, that God has so clearly worked in our lives to get us where we are today, how he completely answered our prayers. Those are going to be the ways that we triumph through faith. Another application is that neither you nor I are right now in danger of being thrown into the lion's den. That is just the reality. We live with this great luxury of practicing our faith in a place where we are relatively not persecuted. The problem is we face a different danger, is that we still have an enemy who has been described as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. How are we supposed to resist him? How are we supposed to, as to use these words, shut his mouth? Well, it is by faith. When Satan tempts us to distrust God, to renounce our faith, which would be far worse than being torn apart by lions, we remain faithful to God. We remember the promises of God. And so faithful living looks like faith. Finally, let's consider our last point. Faithful living looks like righteousness. Look at verse 22. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. So Daniel was rescued because of his faith. He was also rescued, like this verse says, because he was blameless. This refers to the moral purity of his actions. He didn't do anything wrong, or he didn't do anything to deserve this violent death and be thrown in there. And so we could say that that was righteousness. Daniel was righteous, which means that he had right standing with his God, which is a reason why God rescued him. That's exactly what David says in Psalm 18. Listen to how he described his deliverance by God. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And so that is exactly what happened with Daniel. God delivered Daniel according to his righteousness. But the natural question that might arise, which would be sensible, would be something like this. Well, what does that mean for all the faithful martyrs in history who had to suffer painful deaths, or really any other faithful believer that died tragically? Does that mean that they were not spared because that they were not righteous or that they sinned? What does that mean for them? And so I don't think that this text is supposed to give an answer to that. But what I want to point out is that sometimes God acts in such a way in Scripture and gives us narratives like this, which are supposed to point to a greater reality. And that reality has to do with the meaning of Daniel's name. Daniel's name means God is my judge. God is my judge. And so let's make the connection here. God the judge saved Daniel from suffering death because he was found not guilty. He was found blameless and innocent before him, and therefore he was delivered from the lion's den. And so here is where we're reminded of the great reality of the sentence pronounced on the righteous on judgment day, when all of us will stand before a holy God and we will either be acquitted as righteous or condemned as guilty. But where do we get our righteousness from? How do we get this righteousness? How do we earn some sort of righteousness before God? Is it because we are good moral citizens and we keep God's law? No. We are made perfectly righteous by our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, who was the true and faithful servant, a greater Daniel, who never sinned, who did suffer a death out of the ungodly, all because to give us a perfect righteousness. Those who have faith in Christ will hear blameless on the day of judgment. That is the reality that we are supposed to be reminded of here in the lion's den. And so this passage hopefully should show you a lot of application. It's an application-heavy passage. What I want to do is give you one takeaway from this passage, and that it is God who advances his kingdom. It is God who advances his kingdom. Earlier I said that God advances his kingdom through our faithful living, and that is true. But the thing is, Daniel chapter 6 is not a chapter about Daniel. It is about the God of Daniel. And so hopefully you are able to see that we should live a faithful life before God and before others. But what I also hope that you've seen from this passage, even more so, is that it's God who enables us to do so. And ultimately, he's the one who gets glory for our lives. And so as we live faithful lives empowered by God, may the people see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for how you deliver us. We thank you for the deliverance of Daniel, one of the greatest chapters in Scripture. How we see how powerful you are, that you rule all the nations of the world. And we thank you that you are our God, that we get to call you Father. And ultimately, Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who gives us the righteousness, the right standing before you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.